This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez with top business stories of the day. Before we get to the big one, which is coming out of Bank Negara, just a quick reminder that after the 8 o'clock bulletin, we have on the breakfast grill this morning, Siobhan Das, Executive Director of the American-Malaysian Chamber of Commerce. And Chuang will be speaking to her about many things, including the threat of a global trade war. Now, of course, receding, it seems, as both sides kind of dial down on those tensions.
Yeah, but how will the business community, you know, manage all that volatility? You know, we saw last week on Friday the threat of a global trade war that just got ramped up. Then over the weekend, you got Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin then calming things down, saying he is cautiously optimistic that a deal will be struck with China. Markets went back in, and then
The Chinese too were very, very restrained, and the Chinese had a role in calming things down by not ramping up, right? So they did talk about, but the quantum of tariffs they were going to punish America with much less than what America
was going
billion,
to. $3 billion. Right. So it was they had to respond, but they've responded with very restrained measure.
I don't know about that, man. There were some pretty strong words coming out of the Chinese government. But anyways, we'll find out more from M-Chan.
Yeah, but who drew first blood? Okay, we're going to ask Siobhan to ask that, okay? Well, we'll get Chuang to ask the question. Now, coming back to our shores, Bank Negara has introduced a living wage concept, right? So they're pushing this idea, and this is, at this point in time, aspirational. For single adults, it's 2,700 ringgit. For a married couple with no children, it's 4,500 ringgit. For a married couple with two kids, it ought to be 6,500 ringgit as a salary or income on a monthly basis. But this is only for people living in the Klang Valley, Kuala Lumpur and such, right?
Actually, KL specifically.
Just KL.
Just KL.
But KL is only a small part of the Klang Valley,
right? Well, they got to start.
But they have to use that as a sample, right?
Right. And you imagine that this would apply to people in Petaling Jaya as well. You'd think it does.
All right. So look, this is a relatively new concept, at least for us here in Malaysia, at least first time I'm hearing it come out of Bank Negara. So in short, the idea here is as Malaysia makes those strides towards high income status, you know, we should also be moving away from just solely focusing on the minimum wage levels, but now also taking a living wage into account. What's acceptable? What's an acceptable standard of living, at least for now in KL?
Right. Now, there's several factors that go into the calculation of a living wage. Here's Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Muhammad Ibrahim with some context.
So this is something that we should pay people to live comfortably. But it doesn't mean that everyone should be paid around this wage. It's a number that approximately equate a decent living standard in Kuala Lumpur. But it does not apply, say, in Pekan or in Ipoh, because the living wage there will be much lower. And the minimum wage, that is legal aspect of it, is still relevant. But what we are trying to advocate here is that we need to pay people a decent wage.
That was Bank Negara Governor Tan Sri Muhammad Ibrahim.
You know, Sharad, one of the things with this measure now they're looking at, it's just broadly beyond just numbers. So it talks about really the standard of living that should have the ability for the individual to meaningfully participate in society, have the opportunity for personal and family development, and also very importantly, unfortunately, in these difficult times, freedom from severe financial stress. So really the living wage needs its needs. Now that not wants.
And look, beyond all those statements, right, about, say, participating meaningfully in society, there are some practical implications that Bank Negara has actually taken into consideration. So, for example, going back to the numbers you mentioned, Sharad, single individual, 2,700 ringgit a month, that should allow you to, A, rent a room in KL, secondly, eat out more often than not, third, drive less, use public transport more. Married couples with no kids, for example, rent a one-bedroom apartment, eats out only half the time, and owns one car and one one motorcycle. So there are some specifics being attached to this.
I wonder, though, you know, like when you look at the single individual, are we talking about people who just come out of either school or university and at that stage in their lives? Or does this criteria for single individuals apply to someone who's been in the workforce for 20 years and is looking potentially at retirement, still living, you know, earning something around $2,700?
But Sharad, I think the study does not make a distinction between that. They just define these three broad categories, really. And that 6,500 basically wage level basically assumes a married couple with two kids that rents a three-bedroom apartment, eats out on weekends, owns two vehicles, and has some money to pay for extra tuition classes and childcare and so forth.
Yeah, look, Shira, going back to your point there, I think it's about, okay, this is a number that you can kind of benchmark your incomes to and then see, you know, no, like what kind of quality of life you have, basically.
Okay,
you know?
If this is just for the individual, it really ought to be for the employer, the people paying those salaries. Because the truth of the matter is, we could all aspire for much more than just, you know, to live in a rented room in Kuala Lumpur and have the occasional movie outing. But the more important thing is that employers now consider their obligation to meet these aspirations as well. They think it's necessary to pay such levels of wages in order that people have a decent life.
Perhaps that's one of the objectives of this, to try to craft the narrative overall in terms of trying to get employers aware that these are the sort of wages that really people need to live on. You know, a lot of times, if you're a fat cat driving an S-Class, you have no idea there's such a disconnect between what you understand that your employees, for example, need on the ground.
Also, I think it's very important to note, Sharad, I think obligation is perhaps too strong a word because it's just a benchmark.
How much would you water it down to then?
It's a benchmark. It's a benchmark. Right. Okay. It's a benchmark. Now, there's an important distinction to be made here. Like Bank Negara has just said, right? With the minimum wage, for example, there is legislative backing. Well, so this one, there isn't. So don't go, you know, calling your HR, say, hey, I demand this or else, you know.
Why not? But, you know, I mean, think Brian's right. I mean, it's really part of a conversation, right? Yeah. A conversation that needs to happen with bosses. I mean, whether they're attentive or not, and, you know, earlier Chong and I were talking about this, the question of just how difficult it is for SMEs, right, small and medium-sized enterprises in Malaysia today to survive. And so the cost issues are huge on them. So we could say people ought to be paid these levels, but can businesses actually afford to pay people at these levels?
No, I would even take it one step further, you know, because the central bank also highlighted the lack of productivity growth. You know, so if you're going to go up to your employer and say, you know, hey, I demand, you know, an exponential jump in my salaries, then you also got to back it up. Say, well, you know, how much more productive can you get? I mean, that's oversimplifying it.
Okay, let's just bring in some more numbers here. What's interesting is Bank Negara's report notes that the median household income in Kuala Lumpur is over 9,000 ringgit. That's median. And that's already higher than the living wage proposed by Bank Negara, at least for the couple that, you know, you mentioned earlier, Brian. But income inequality is still a problem in urban areas. I mean, and that's not a surprise either, is it?
Yeah, well, just a real quick note, that median household income in KL of over 9,000 ringgit, that's from the Department of Statistics. Yeah, but that is above what Bank Negara's recommendation is for the living wage. Again, 6,500 ringgit for a couple with two kids.
Yeah, very quickly, we had on the Breakfast Grill recently a discussion on urban poverty, and specifically to children. And in that discussion, one of the authors of the report, Dr. Mohamed Khalid, highlighted that there's a blind spot in the way Malaysia calculates its poverty rate.
In Kuala Lumpur, GDP per capita almost the same as South Korea. It's a developed state. Poverty rate is 0%. But if you look at the poverty rate in low-cost flat, a majority have low income, low saving. The way we measure poverty has to be changed. Multi-dimensional poverty, according to 11 Malaysian Plan, we look at access to water, electricity in urban areas. Everybody got this. In terms of income, you don't look at absolute. You look at relative poverty. Let's follow developed countries. You must relook again how you measure poverty. Things that you don't measure usually go unsolved.
That was Dr. Mohamed Khalid, the managing director of the local research firm DM Analytics.
Yeah, and the number that they put out in terms of the income levels at the median income at low cost flats is only 2,500 ringgit per household. Now, that's significantly lower than the KL median.
Yeah, look, I think it's important to make that distinction between absolute poverty and relative poverty. And this is in line with what Bank Negara is saying, right? As we move towards that high-income status, our definition of a poverty should also shift. So it's not just absolute poverty where they don't have enough access to the basic necessities. It's now about what's an acceptable standard of living. Now, obviously, in the low-cost flats there in KL, according to UNICEF's study, it is still far behind. There is this tremendous gap between the household income levels there versus the median and versus the living wage.
And of course, we go back to the whole conversation we have over BRIM and just the sheer levels of economic vulnerability that we have in this country. Millions of people needing BRIM handouts. Oh, we have Siobhan Das coming up, Executive Director of the American and Malaysian Chamber of Commerce. She'll be speaking to Chuang after the news bulletin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.